Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hi, folks, and welcome once again to This is Robotics Radio News, episode number 23. I'm Tom Green, your host and companion on this incredible journey that we call robotics. For 2 years running now, we've been the number one robotics news podcast worldwide. We're up to over 100,000 fans, and you, my dear folks, put us at number one. Thank you very much. And thanks also for joining us today. It's August, the harbinger of September, and the fourth and final quarter for 2023. Boy, that year went fast. Maybe it was because it was such a rollicking year for Gen AI converging with everything, especially robotics. August also observed National Kiss and Makeup Day. Did you? If not, and you're still angry, indecisive, or ready to move on, we have a special segment that just may be of help. Sex robots. Could falling in love with a robot friend be such a bad thing? Dr. Helen Driscoll of the University of Sunderland says, the point is, people already fall in love with fictional characters, even if there's no chance to meet and interact with them. How many humans readily let go of their emotions and fall in love with a character in a movie? Plenty. And we've also had an Astro sighting. You know Astro, Amazon's $1,600 diminutive home robot that rolled into our lives in 2021 and then quickly disappeared. Seems Astro is now fueling up with Gen AI, which Amazon has named Burnham. It won't be around for a few years, says Amazon, which for any other product would surely mean the kiss of death. But the entire category of home robots has also disappeared. What's with that? There's a potential forecast looming that says home robots are looking at a marketplace of $16 billion if they ever show up. We love Coming to America stories, and our Orangewood Labs article is just such a tale of fresh ideas and hard work washing up on our shores. Just goes to show that immigrants come to the U.S. with more than their suitcases. Orangewood is about three Indian guys who are on a mission to democratize robotics for the small manufacturer, which is a segment in dire need of automation. Okay, let's get on with the news. As we said at the opener, today is National Kiss and Makeup Day. For all of those couples, partners, and significant others intending to kiss and make up, best of luck. The crying and ill will soon be over. For all of you who would rather wave goodbye and get moving, robotics has an alternative for you to consider. Robotics always has solutions to everything. Try a sex robot next time around. Sex robots are incapable of lying, cheating, or making you unhappy, and they won't run around on you because they can't walk. If you are willing to consider an alternative, this next article is for you. We call it, Sex Robots Will Never Make You Cry. Maybe. Andrea Morris, in her article, really has a great headline. She writes, Sex robots are the most disruptive technology we didn't see coming. In her first paragraph, she really outlines what the problem is. At first glance, Harmony looks, that's a sex robot, Harmony looks a bit like a chatbot got trapped inside an anatomically correct life-size Barbie. But on closer inspection, it's hard to shake the feeling that sex robots have the potential to thoroughly disrupt how we interact with technology, as well as how we interact with each other, and whether some not insignificant portion of the population will opt out of interacting with humans altogether. Robots, she goes on to say, have been taking our jobs outside of the home. They are on the verge of replacing humans as providers of many of our most personal needs, from domestic work to intimacy. Is this inevitable? And is it even a bad thing? She concludes. MIT's Cynthia Brazil, in an interview after a TED Talk, remarked that robots know how to push all of our buttons. I quote, she said, "They, robots, push our social buttons stronger than any other technology." Meaning that, since robots are the only thing that has ever replied to a human in human language, that humans are innately attracted to them in a way that is sort of inexplicable but very evident and real. ABC's Katie Couric had lunch and a chat with Harmony. Couric was reporter composed during the interchange, but when she met Henry, a male sex robot, who told her that she had a perfect ass, she blushed. A little button pushing there, I'd wager. She then drove off with Henry in a classic pink Thunderbird. According to a study conducted by YouGov, more than 1 in 5 Americans, 22%, would gladly go through with having a few of their buttons pushed by an AI-infused sex robot like Harmony or Henry. The slice of AI that Brazil supports, namely relational AI, might be a good future next step for these sex robots. When asked by the interviewer, can AI help us become who we aspire to be? Can it help us live not just more productive, but better, more fulfilling lives? She explained it this way. When we talk about human flourishing, she said, it's not about brief encounters with AI. Positive emotions, meaning a sense of achievement, relationships, all those things are extremely important. I call it relational AI. AI that can understand us as people and treat us as people. There's no question that personal robots and other AI systems are becoming a growing presence in our lives, remarked the interviewer. But while Apple Siri, Google Home, and Amazon's Alexa can carry out certain tasks, they can't truly support who we are, according to Brazil. Relational AI for humans in pursuit of intimacy, more than just sex, might find relational AI to be the killer app for sex robots. Adamant in opposition to getting close to a sex robot for any reason are websites like Feminist Current, and it's an open letter on the dangers of normalizing sex dolls and sex robots. Feminist Current writes, "At a time when pornography, prostitution, and child exploitation is facilitated and proliferated by digital technology, turning it into a global profitable industry, these products further promote the objectification of the female body and as such constitute a further assault on human intimacy." The malefactors in all of this, according to the website and its campaign against sex robots, these technologies are developed and backed by academic and business robotics and artificial intelligence communities who have to date the loudest voices shaping the policy direction about the benefits of sex robots, while largely ignoring the potentially dangerous effects on women, men, and children. That's definitely not how to win friends and influence people, I think. That sounds mighty close to a blanket condemnation of all those working in robotics and AI. Conspiracy theories aside, that just simply isn't true. Let's connect a few of the dots for a little bit of clarity. The facts are that humans are going to continue to explore for themselves when it comes to sex robots. Dr. Helen Driscoll of the University of Sunderland says, "The point is, people already fall in love with fictional characters, even if there's no chance to meet and interact with them. How many humans readily let go of their emotions and fall in love with a character in a movie? Plenty. David Levy, who founded the International Congress of Love and Sex with Robots, has outlined how machines will advance to form loving relationships with humans. There are millions of people out there, says Levy, who, for various reasons, don't have anyone to love or anyone who loves them. And for these people, I think, robots are going to be the answer. With a suicide happening every 20 minutes somewhere in the world, with levels of clinical depression as rampant as COVID, the World Health Organization totals out some 264 million people of all ages who suffer from depression, and that depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide and is a major contributor to the overall global burden of disease. AI is key to Levy's evolution of human-robot relationships. I've always felt that one of the difficult problems to solve with AI was human-computer conversation. Because obviously, if you want to have a good relationship with someone, part of that relationship has to be the conversations you have with them. The current level of human-computer conversation is still fairly primitive, he says, but it has improved in the last 10 or 15 years, and there's an ever-increasing amount of effort being applied to developing that field. I'm pretty much convinced that by 2050 there will be software that can carry on a conversation that will be as good as one we can have with a human. Somewhere in the run-up to 2050, Brazil's relational AI will happen along to join the sex robot revolution. With the sex tech industry in general at $33 billion annually, according to Grandview Research, female segment of that is 60% of the total, of which sex robots are only a tiny fraction, much more investment will be necessary. These days, going to dinner with a robot necessitates that he or she be carried in and out of the restaurant. Definitely not cool. While waiting for all of these dots to connect up, case studies of people currently living with robots are here for your reading pleasure. Buzzworthy's article, Inside the Life of People Married to Robots, is very interesting. Just to wet your whistle a little, here are two from the article. Number one is Ned Neffer, who married a mannequin's head that he pushes around town in a wheelchair. And secondly, a French woman fighting for her right to marry a robot that she made with a 3D printer. As the Germans put it, jeder nach seinem Geschmack. Everyone to their own taste, indeed. The importance of Astro. Are personal home robots headed for a major restart? Is Amazon at it again? To see Amazon's new personal or home robot, Astro, rolling across a floor has prompted some to dismiss the diminutive machine as useless or just a fancy Alexa on wheels. Watching the slick but lame promotional videos of Astro straining mightily to look useful seem only to reinforce what the skeptics are saying. However, could we be witnessing a return to 2012 and 2015 when Amazon shocked robotics with the purchase of Kiva and then introduced Alexa? Two events that quickly shot Amazon to leadership in robotics in a firm place in millions of homes worldwide. This time around, the e-commerce behemoth may have its sights set once again on the home front, which has proven to be a very nasty place for home robots to get in the door, take hold, and flourish. Most have failed miserably at becoming a member of the family. In fact, home or personal robots have been mighty scarce in the 6 years since Alexa successfully stormed the front doors of millions. Amazon's test launch of Astro at a big discount with the intention of plumbing customer feedback may be its first toe dip into the market. Will Astro, like all the others buried on robotics' boot hill of personal robots, also miss the mark? Oh, by the way, what does a home robot need to be successful? So many have failed. Amazon may well be the one that finally cracks the code and then reaps a massive profit because of it. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's the Amazon strategy. Let's take a look at what might be going on. There's a huge demand for personal home robots, not including cleaning robots that dominate the category. For the $51 billion forecast for personal home robots through 2028, over $35 billion is for cleaning robots. That's according to Emergen Research. The $16 billion difference covers in-home companion robots, educational robots, assistant security and entertainment robots. Astro could well realize a sizable chunk of that difference. One advantage that Amazon can readily see is that Astro does not have much competition. When Alexa got going in 2015, first launched in November of 2014, and was welcomed into millions of homes, it all but shredded the personal robot industry, which, with few exceptions, has been underground ever since. Back in 2015, a VentureBeat headline full of expectation seemed to say it all. 2015 could be the year of the personal robot. Well, it looked that way until Alexa showed up. Just to get a sense of the demand for personal robots in 2015, we conducted a survey. Turned out that 45% of the respondents said they would buy one. And get this, over 25% said that they would be willing to spend between $7,000 and $15,000 for a personal robot. In 2016, I wrote an article ahead of the Consumer Electronics Show for 2016 titled, Sweet 16 for 2016. which profiled 16 personal robots that looked like they had a super chance at success in someone's home. In short order, 90% were soon either dead or moribund. Again, Alexa. And at $180 for the tower and $50 for the dot form factor, Alexa's price-to-performance ratio was unbeatable. By November of 2019, when Alexa turned 5 years old, the Alexa website said it all. Customers already use Alexa on more than 100 million devices from Amazon and third-party device manufacturers, as well as the Alexa app on iOS and Android. With the release of the new devices like Echo Auto, Echo Buds, Echo Frame, and Echo Loop, it's even easier for customers to talk to Alexa no matter where they are. Customers can now also automatically invoke skills using Alexa routines based on the time of day, location, and other triggers. None of my Sweet 16 for 2016 could ever dream of matching that kind of firepower, ever. Now, here in 2021, all that Alexa connectivity is rolling around on the floor with a few added doodads, like a 10-inch HD screen with touch input, a 5-megapixel camera and a periscope camera that is 1080p with 132-degree field of view, including 3 Qualcomm processors on board, as well as Amazon's own AZ-1. In some respects, Astro is the return of the earlier jettisoned visual and kinetic elements, codenamed Project C, that Lab 126, that's Amazon's development laboratory, always wanted to include in the original Alexa release, but were rejected by management. Stripped of its screen and wheels, Project C became Project D, then named Echo, then, of course, Alexa. In Astro, Project C has returned. But do we really need what Astro has to offer? Is the 2-foot-tall, 20-pound robot what's needed? Wired has an interesting headline to that point. It reads, Amazon's Astro is a robot without a cause. As Lauren Good points out in her article, the company has been working on this for nearly 4 years, and it has plans for Astro. It's just not quite sure exactly what those are yet, so it's hoping thousands of early customers can help define what it's for. Amazon's hardware chief, Dave Limp, identified a few potential use cases in an interview with Wired, including elder care and home security. But ultimately, Limp says, the company wants to get into customers' hands so it can identify unique use cases for the bot. The personal robots industry is not totally wanting for success. Sony's Aibo was one big success. The $2,900 autonomous robot dog has sold 150,000 units since it hit the market in 1999. That's $435 million. It was a big hit at the 2001 Canton Toy Fair, where it helped the robot virtual pet subcategory of the toy market to jump from $5 million to $159 million in a single year. Aibo still has a long-lived, intensely loyal, near-fanatical fan base. Here in August of 2023, leaked documents reveal Amazon has a new Gen AI technology called Burnham that could make its Astro home robot a whole lot smarter. In a report from May by Jennifer Tuohy of The Verge, she writes, the documents indicate that the technology remembers what it saw and understood, and the robot can then engage in a Q&A dialogue on what it saw and use AI-powered by large language models, or LLMs, to act on it. For example, the documents describe an Astro product using Burnham as able to find a stove left burning or a faucet left running and track down its owner to alert them. It could check on someone who has fallen and call 911 if it's an emergency. It could help find your keys, check if a window was left open overnight, and monitor whether kids had friends over after school, according to the documents. These are all things you can do to some extent with existing smart home tech, she says, but they require multiple steps, devices, and actions as opposed to one, Astro. This contextual understanding, as Amazon describes the tech in the documents, is its latest and most advanced AI technology designed to make robots more intelligent, more useful, and more conversational. However, Burnham isn't coming to a robot near you anytime soon. Amazon acknowledges in the documents that it still has a long way to go before Burnham can be put into a product. So where are we? Astro graced us with its presence in September of 2021. You still can't buy the current, not-so-smart Astro without an invite from Amazon. Its price just went up as well, to $1,600. And Amazon scrapped plans to release a cheaper version. There's still that $16 billion market out there for home robots that's going uncontested. Back in 2021, Gartner analyst Annette Jump wrote that these kinds of personal robots are still 6 to 8 years away from early mainstream adoption. I repeat, early mainstream adoption. That's a long time to let billions in sales languish. And in the end, will Astro be home-worthy for my home? When no one is watching and a toddler gets too close to a backyard swimming pool, will Astro wail like an Amber Alert? Sure hope so. Over 300 kids each year drown in pools. Astro could become their hero, as well as an honored member of the family for its alertness. It's always nice to see what immigrants bring to America. Many times they bring a lot. Three young guys recently arrived in San Francisco and set up an office, and their mission is to democratize robotics for small manufacturers. Pretty nice idea. We recently featured this young startup called Orangewood Labs as one of our articles in What's New in Robotics. That's the blog we do in conjunction with our partner, Robotique. Robotique, the Start Faster people, whose tools and know-how simplify collaborative robot applications so factories can start production faster. We liked Orangewood because they had an unusual take on their product. They fitted their cobots with Gen AI called RoboGPT. It's always nice to see a new robotics developer springing up. Abhinav Das, Aditya Bhatia, and Akash Bansal, three Indians with a research lab in Noida, that's in India, opened an office in San Francisco. Orangewood is adding a new cobot arm to an already massively crowded field and managed to raise $4.5 million to give it a go. But the young company has a plan. Orangewood Lab wants to build a cheap, programmable robot arm for manufacturing, they say. Robotic arms have been traditionally hard to program, says Orangewood, which is why most small businesses don't do it. Here's CEO Abhinav Das explaining the company's mission.
Imagine a world where humans are free to work on anything which their heart desires. My name is Abhinav. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Orangewood Labs. I love building stuff. As a child, I would take toys apart and then make new toys out of them. I still tend to do that. One of my life's dreams is to enable people, enable every builder who's out there. And it kind of comes from my own experiences. I started my first company when I was 22. I was building a truck for rural areas. Most of rural India back in the day was not connected. They did not have any transportation options. I could see those problems. I could see, you know, individual builders not having enough tools, not having enough help. Like, if you have to do certain things, you have to wait for another human to come and help you out somehow, or, you know, have a lot more people to come and help you out. And a lot of times that's not feasible. It kind of becomes very clear that we will need some kind of robot, some automation to help all these individual builders or help these small startups to build their next thing, build the next set of products. And that kind of led us to building what Orangewood is. Building any hardware is hard. Most manufacturing is just humans toiling away their lives on an assembly line. A significant chunk of humanity is just doing things which could have been automated years ago. No one wants to do these jobs. No one aspires to become a factory worker. It's like spending their lives in a prison. A robot arm is like a computer with a hand. You can program it to do physical tasks. There are billions of computers, but not enough robot arms. It's because the robot arms are expensive and they are very, very difficult to program. We at Orangewood are building world's most affordable robotic arm and the easiest to program. You could literally tell the robot to do something in natural language and the robot does that. The only language you need to know is the one you already know.
Any change in the environment or conditions requires reprogramming. For example, if you wanted to pick a red triangle instead of a blue square, it would take time to make that change. We're changing that with RoboGPT. RoboGPT, as its name implies, is a chat GPT for robots and cobots. Type in a prompt like, pick up all the cylinders with blue tops and place them into the red container. Then after hitting enter, the cobot complies in doing exactly what was asked of it. RoboGPT is a platform that allows users, think roboticists as well as factory floor workers, to program Orangewood's robotic arm with text or their voice. RoboGPT, engineered to be adaptive, attempts to account for edge cases, continuously learning about its environment. With the launch of RoboGPT, Orangewood hopes to take its robotics into use cases like quality inspection, powder coating, and picking and sorting packaged goods. As it claims on the company website, Orangewood builds AI-powered robot arms that are simple to operate. We make collaborative robots safe, affordable, and capable of coping with modern-day manufacturing challenges. Online, it says the price for these arms is $18,000. In a world that's getting $35,000 for a cobot arm, $18,000 is half off. And it's a bargain for sure. Well, dear friends, we've come to the close of another This Is Robotics Radio News podcast. Many thanks for coming. We sincerely hope that you enjoyed your brief stay with us, found the program interesting, and had a few takeaways that will stick in your memory banks and power your day along. Thanks also to Global Robotics for being such a wonderful source for news. As a production of Asian Robotics Review, we hope you visit the site regularly. And please, sign up for our twice-weekly newsletters. It's painless. Just your email is all we need. So long, until next time.
That brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.